Oh, ho, ho, ho. That is the sound that I've been waiting on all day, ladies and gentlemen. The sound of freedom. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Impacting Life 24/7 with your host, CL King, coming to you live. That's right, live from the High Definition Studios here in Jacksonville, North Carolina. I want to apologize to all my sponsors for being late. But as you know, it takes a long time to look this good all day. Hey, y'all out there struggling, siphoning gas out of somebody's gas tank out there. Are y'all doing that? I mean, I know y'all get, there's a pandemic going on with gas shortages, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, the crisis mode has reached a fevered pitch. I tried to tell y'all about this last time because you guys know that I am a supply chain management expert and I help organizations with continual process improvement. And y'all just should have just filled up on Sunday and went on about your business. Okay, you out here pandemic buying, and you actually are gonna break the system. If you would just, the supply chain is designed for rudimentary continuation. It's not designed for anomalies. And that's all we've done. We've created an artificial anomaly by running to the gas station because we saw everybody else there. I must confess, I did it last night. I'm driving down, me and the wife just finished, and we're like, hey, everybody's at the gas station. I guess we should go there. Y'all, we'll talk about that on another show when I don't have a guest and I don't embarrass myself. I am delighted because I get to have people in our virtual studios every other day, and I bring them to you for a reason, because they have impacted life. I don't say that with a lot of fanfare. I say that with fact. The lady that I'm bringing to you tonight is going to totally revolutionize your way of thinking about recovery, about struggle. She used her struggle as a gift, man, and now she's changing the world. My guest, Tamar Medford, is a performance consultant, life coach, best-selling author, and champion for people in recovery. Since overcoming her 20-year battle with drugs, alcohol, and obesity in 2012, she has dedicated her life to empowering others to embrace their authentic selves and to live up to their true potential. Tamar instills change in her clients by facilitating evidence-based programs that use proven methodologies, world-class content with a significant history in the market. She has done, let me just tell you something. I was talking to her for 30 minutes in the pre-show. The sister is brilliant. She has done her homework. Her mission is to help people create a life so good for themselves that they never want to go back to their old way of living. I'm telling you now, this is why I had to scale Mount Everest. We had to twist some people's arms to get Tamar on this show because she is in high demand. In fact, she's in much higher demand than me. She's written 2 books. She's got her own show. She's got an amazing show that I was a privilege to be a guest on. The podcast is called The Road Beyond Recovery. And we're going to share all of the wonderful things with our guests that we have with our guests in the studios. We're going to share that all with you. But I want everybody right now, put everything aside, strap in. I want you to focus your attention on the screen and turn up your earbuds and join me in a rousing applause as we welcome to our virtual studios the one and only Tamar Medford. Welcome, Tamar.
CL, you made me blush. Thank you so much for having me. I'm humbled, that's for sure.
Oh, man, Tamar, you know what? I just try with everything in my power to introduce great people, and you're a great person.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's just an honor to be here
today. Yes, man. I haven't even looked at my live feed yet. I'm sure Greg is on there fussing at me, so let me see what Greg's talking about. Listen, we want to welcome everybody. Thank you guys for helping me. I'm blessed to have someone in our virtual studios to start. Really, I didn't have a show last night, so we're kind of starting the week off, and we're starting the week off great. And Tamar Medford, as I just gave you an indication, she's got a whole host of skill sets that she brings to the table, but more importantly, she's just a really, really amazing person. So Tamar, before we get started, because as you know, thank you, Greg, for putting all of her stuff out there. He got your websites and everything already in the, it was simmering on the stove before I got there. That's how good that man is. Greg said he filled up Sunday traveling back from VA. Well, I'm coming to get gas out of your gas tank then, Greg. Tamar, would you please give us, so for the folks who can't see us online live, tell people how they can contact you and how they can get up with you, Tamar.
Absolutely. So the best way is either just email me, Tamar, T-A-M-A-R, at theroadforward.ca, or you can check me out on my website, which is theroadforward.ca. Nice and simple. All my social media contact information is there as well.
Theroadforward.ca. You know, she's from Canada, so, you know, I hear it a little different. Us in the South, we listen slow down here in the South. So I was like, what did she just say?
Well, you make me want to go get gas right now. I'm just thinking, come on, if you guys are all doing it, I got to do it too.
Yeah, let's hurry up and end the show so everybody can go get some gas, huh? So again, theroadforward.ca. You can find Tamar Medford there, and she has got a great Facebook page. You can go there, The Road Forward Coaching, and we're going to give this out throughout the show. You guys will see it in the chat, but we're going to continue to give it out throughout the show. So Tamar, you know, I know you. I've been blessed to be a guest on your show. I don't know why you decided to risk having me on your show, because, you know, I'm a loose cannon, but it was such an honor to be on your show. And I know you, but our folks that are listening and tuning in tonight don't. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Tamar.
Well, I don't think I can match your introduction, but I'm a performance consultant, a life coach, an author, a best-selling author 2 times, and host of the Road Beyond Recovery podcast. And I am incredibly passionate about helping not just people in recovery, but also entrepreneurs in recovery, or even potential entrepreneurs, really live their best authentic life. Because I can tell you, never in a million years did I think that I would be writing a book, let alone writing 2, let alone, you know, leaving my job to do what I love. And I want to teach people how to take that energy that they put into all this adversity they overcome and into something good in the world and make a difference. And that's what I'm passionate about.
Man, can you hear it, ladies and gentlemen? You can almost hear it in her voice, man. It's just like echoing out of the corridors up there in Canada that she, you know, and we're going to go down this road, and we always like to unpack the lives of our guests. But somebody being passionate about helping others, man, I'm like, get them on the show, Greg, because really, I saw it somewhere. I think Dr. Martin Luther King said it, and some other entities have said it. You know, one group said life is about ... others. And that's really what it's about. And Tamar, you have really dedicated this new lease on life that you have been given, this new phase of your life, that you have really dedicated it to bringing awareness, equipping and empowering people. And so we're very, very thankful for you, and we're honored that you are on our show. And if you would like to get up with Tamar, ladies and gentlemen, all you got to do is go to theroadforward.ca. I would like you to connect with her. You can get her books. We're going to talk about her books in this after the top of the hour, but she's got some amazing books. I told her to get them on her table so she could show them to us. And you hear all of that. You see Tamar there. You guys see her smiling. She's got a great personality and disposition. But life wasn't always like this. And this is the realities that we deal with. Tamar, you started your life out around 12 years old that we saw and you experienced this phenomena. Tell us about that 12-year-old experience.
Well, it was actually 14.
Oh, 14. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I mean, it definitely could happen at 12, because I was born in Holland. Of course, European countries, they, you know, start drinking fairly early.
And yeah.
I always like to mention that I had a really good upbringing, because there is always this perception with people who fall into addiction that they have to have gone through trauma. And that's the reality of a lot of people. But it wasn't mine. You know, I had 2 parents that loved me, a younger brother, and I had a very good upbringing. But we moved around a lot, especially towards my early teens, kind of, you know, and I really never felt like I fit in. You know, I was always that kind of, I felt like that awkward, you know, just kid that wasn't smart enough, that, you know what I mean? That mm-hmm. that person who just felt, didn't like social situations. I didn't think I was cool. And I so desperately needed that outside validation. And I remember at the age of 14, getting drunk for the first time. And I had had alcohol before because, of course, it was never taboo in our family. It's like, right. Sure, you can have a sip here and there. So, but when I got drunk for the first time, it's like my world went from black and white to color. Like everything was vibrant. Everything was amazing. I felt like I had control. I wanted to chase that feeling. And it's almost like I had come to, right? I was that confident girl at the time. I was going to say woman, but
yeah.
I was 14. But I really felt like I had become someone. You know, I could make people laugh. And I'm sure they were laughing at me. But it just changed, you know, alcohol had become my solution. It changed who I was.
So,
and I chased that.
So when we're talking about, you know, this experience at 14, I do recall my time over in England that I did remember seeing wine on the table all the time. So it wasn't, you know, alcohol was just kind of normal. But you got exposed to an altered state of reality. And did you not like, I mean, you had great parents, and I love what she did, ladies and gentlemen. She gave honor to her mother and father. That's what the Bible tells us to do. So that's awesome. But I mean, were you a social butterfly? Were you popular and this just elevated you, or was that kind of like a blah area?
I wasn't popular. I was one of those kids that just kind of stood in the background. I was incredibly shy. And I just didn't know how to, you know, I had friends, but I wanted to fit in. You know, I didn't know where I fit in. And so when I drank, I could fit in with anybody.
Right.
Because it gave me this false sense of confidence that I was almost invincible.
Yeah. Yeah. What do they call it in the Marine Corps, Greg? What do they call it? Liquid courage or something?
Yep.
And so this created a totally new world for you that, even though it was an altered state of reality, it was one that you were still keenly aware of. You were aware that your reality was altered because of alcohol. And so at 14, it started. And, you know, so you were in middle school and going into high school. Did it continue throughout those years?
It did. And it actually got worse because, of course, then drugs started to come into the picture. And I wasn't afraid to put anything in my body. If it was mind altering, I liked it. And, you know, I would have, because of the drugs that I was using, I would have blackouts in the middle of high school. I would be sitting there talking to friends and all of a sudden they'd be walking away. And I had this gap of time that I didn't even remember. And I wasn't even high then. But all this scary stuff started happening. But it was that feeling of numbing my emotions, and just alcohol did something to me that nothing else ever did. And same with drugs.
And you can tell she's a podcast host because she's giving expert answers. That's the way to answer a question tomorrow. I should just use her as an example, y'all. Y'all want to answer a question, answer it like she just did. When you talk about those moments of blacking out and, you know, you began to introduce, other elements beyond alcohol. If you're looking back, were those introduced because it was just a part of the party scene, or was it that alcohol wasn't enough?
It was a bit of both. It started off with it being part of the party scene. And of course, because I still sought outside validation, I think that started with my father, you know, really wanting him to say he was proud of me. Mm-hmm. And I kind of brought that into my friendships as well, which had that, you know, aspect of codependency. But you know, at first it was just, oh, okay, I'm going to try this, I'm going to try that. But it also elevated everything. And, you know, after I graduated high school, which was just barely, which is why I always looked at myself as not smart and I can't learn.
Right.
Right. I actually got into harder drugs. Like the first time I tried cocaine, I was about 24, 25 years old. And I actually smoked crack for the first time because I was completely naive to it. And I was, my friend's like, hey, do you want to try this? And I'm like, sure. And that really is when things took a turn for the worse.
I'm thinking about, you know, Greg, I'm thinking about mine, man, New Jack City, boy, this is, he's just going down to that. And the truth of the matter is that, you know, they talk about gateways. And they talk about gateway drugs. And I think I could probably just say gateway habits. You know, one habit can be a gateway to another habit. And it appears to me that you were in a position where you had let down a lot of your walls, huh?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I love what you say about gateway, because for me, it's any drug. I, to this day, can't mess around with sleep aids, anything like that. Even food can be a gateway for me if I let it. But, that was my way of life, right? That's how I felt protected, because nobody could really get to know me, because I didn't want people to know me.
Wow. And so from 14 years old, you go from a experimental, if you will, time of an altered state to living a life like that. And so when, if you can recall, and you don't have to give me the exact detail, but was there a point when you realized, hey, I'm an addict? Or did you just always think, man, this is kind of just a casual thing that I'm doing?
I actually had a seven-day bender once when I was using cocaine, and I'd actually gone to work. I'd missed those 7 days, obviously, because of the bender, but I went back, and I was so weak that I actually, ironically, was lifting a keg of beer onto a pallet and slipped a disc in my back. And so for the next 3 months, I was off work and I was using every single day. And right after that, I got into a 4-year relationship with an addict, and I used throughout that. But of course, I was the classy addict, right? As soon as I was with someone else who was using, I became that, okay, well, I'm going to save you now. And so I actually stepped back a little bit from the drugs, because I thought I was better than, right? Because I had that good upbringing. And it really wasn't until later on in life that I realized, okay, I have a problem. Like, I'm an alcoholic and a drug addict.
Wow. And I guess, was there a point, you know, I'm just thinking in my mind that everyone has their moment, their aha moment, you know, like some folks, they have to hit absolutely rock bottom. Was there ever a rock bottom for you?
There, I had many. I would say after that relationship ended, I locked myself in a room and basically stayed home and drank and did lines of cocaine almost every single day. And I really wanted to end my life. And I actually ended up meeting up with my high school best friend one night, the first night that I went out and decided, okay, I got to get out of this slump, because I suffered from depression as well, which alcohol didn't help that. But, you know, as I tried to do what society told me to do, I decided, well, I'm going to get married. I, of course, married an alcoholic. I'm going to buy the house. I'm going to get the car. And I really thought that I was getting better, but the depression wouldn't go away. And I remember in late 2011, I was so depressed. I was 215 pounds, severely depressed, very suicidal. Financially, we were bankrupt and very unhappily married. And I just sat on the floor with a bottle of pills. And I just thought, this is it. Like, I can't keep hurting the people I love. Like, I just can't do this. And for some reason, I was sitting there with my dog. I had a little pug. His name was Rudy. And he looked at me with this head tilt. And now I know it was complete divine intervention. But something in that moment, when I just wanted to end it all, said, come on, give it one more chance. Like, you're meant for more. And that was actually the moment I decided I needed to start turning my life around.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, we are blessed to have in the studios with us Tamar Medford. You can find her at theroadforward.ca. She is also a phenomenal podcast host. I've been a guest on her podcast, The Road Beyond Recovery podcast. You can find that on Apple, iTunes, and all other major outlets. And Tamar, you said something where that really speaks, and I want to be mindful of our audience and the folks listening that will hear this, that you felt at that point that there was no point in going forward, and that you wanted to end your life. I can imagine, Tamar, with people in so many different states of mind over the past year, that there's somebody out there who knows someone, or maybe it's you yourself, that are feeling like, man, you know, why keep trying? Why go forward? And it took a cute little animal, God's creation. The Bible, you know, God spoke through bushes and God spoke through donkeys, so he can surely speak through a pug. he wanted to let you know that you were still valuable because you still had breath. And I know that at that moment, you know, you obviously, it wasn't a 360 degree turn or 180 turn right then. We talk about the road to recovery. But you recognize that you needed to make some changes. So if you can recall, because this has been some time, what was kind of like the road forward for you like?
So, of course, like most people do, on January 1st, I decided I'm making a New Year's resolution. I'm going to lose weight, because I really thought that, because I was way overweight back then, I thought that if I could change the way I looked on the outside, it would naturally heal the pain I felt on the inside, right? I thought that outside perception, if people see me and I'm thinner and I'm beautiful, maybe I'll feel that love, right? I didn't realize at the time, well, I needed to learn to love myself. So I actually ended up hiring a personal trainer. And little did I know, we knew each other in high school. We were in gymnastics together and we were terrible at gymnastics. So I don't think I'll
ever. Don't worry, so am I.
I can't even do a cartwheel today. But, you know, we right away bonded because, of course, we had known each other. And she asked me, she's like, Tamara, what's your goal? And I said, I want to fit in a bikini and go to Las Vegas and go party around the pool at a pool party down in Vegas. Because that was the lifestyle I always imagined myself that I would live, right? Grandiose plans. Anyway, I set off on this journey. And of course, just like with my addiction to drugs and alcohol, I went all in on fitness and nutrition. I ate chicken, broccoli, and rice every single day for a year. I worked out 6-7 days a week, right? And this is where I talk about cross addictions, because even in my health journey, that happened. But the one part I wasn't looking at was the alcohol addiction. And so what I was doing, I wanted the gold star, right? I wanted to be recognized for my accomplishments and losing weight. And I would actually have 3 beers in a night, so Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I would come home and have half a bottle of NyQuil to basically pass out. Because I thought, well, if I can't control how many beers I had, because I once I start, I can't stop. And I remember just bragging on Monday. She'd be like, okay, how was your week? You know, how was your food? I'm like, I only had 9 beers. And I can tell you something now, that when you do have a problem with something, you don't usually have to justify the quantity that you consume. And after one last bender with my now ex-husband at the time, I thought I had full control over this. I thought I had it licked, and I brought one bottle of wine with me, and I had that, a case of wine after that, ran a $200 bar tab and a case of beer, and I barely remember the weekend. And it was after that where I reached out to my trainer, because she had actually mentioned at one point and said, hey, you know what? I'm in recovery, and if you ever want to come with me to a meeting. And I'm like, oh, no, I don't need that. Like, you might need that, but I don't need that. And it was really from that moment on that I started to look at my behaviors and I realized I needed help.
Wow. You know something, ladies and gentlemen, this, of course, is Impacting Life 24/7 with your host, CL King. And I'm blessed. And you guys are listening to this phenomenal story with Tamara Medford. You can find her at theroadforward.ca. And she's, you know, ladies and gentlemen, let me just tell you, Tamara, let me just tell them before we go to the commercial break, people think this is easy to just come on and tell a national audience, you know, we're now in 33 states and 13 countries. People think it's easy to just come on and just tell your story, but it's a moment of vulnerability that this dear lady is sharing this with us, because we all like to portray, like she said, we're good. I'm good. I don't need to go to AA. I don't need to go to any meeting. I don't need to go to nothing. I'm good. And we all wear masks, ladies and gentlemen. It might be a metaphor, but it's a reality too, that there are, and that's why I was so eager to have Tamara on the show, because Tamara was hurting down inside. I mean, when you can run up a $200 tab, a case of wine, and God, did you throw some NyQuil in there too? I'm telling you, that's somebody that's saying, listen, my body, I'm not in control of this body, this vessel. And even when she did the one thing to begin to lose weight, to for her appearance, to make things better. Listen, man, it's still about what's in here. It's still about this real estate that's between our back and our chest. And Tamar, you being vulnerable at that moment, realized that you couldn't do it on your own, huh?
No, it's not something that I recommend anybody does alone, and nor do we have to, right? Because there's so many people out there saying, hey, you know what? I got this. I can help you. And I'm so grateful I finally realized that it's okay to not be okay, and it's okay to ask for help.
Yeah, I think we had Dr. Skip Mondragon on a couple weeks ago, and he said that it's okay not to be okay. And we live in such a world where if you don't have the answer, if you don't know the equation, or if you're not on the leading edge, if you don't have the most likes, if you're not the biggest following, then you're nobody. And truly, Tamar, in my book, has the biggest following, because she looked at her life and she saw the litter of tragedy that she had, the wake of tragedy that she had behind her. And but it was that person that reached out, huh? It was your trainer that actually kind of stimulated the outreach?
Yeah, she planted the bug. And, you know, I remember almost getting offended in the beginning. I'm like, I don't need help. I mean, I'm drinking 9 beers on a weekend. Do you know how good that is? Usually 9 beers is my appetizer. And that's all it takes, though, sometimes, right? And then right. For you to hit that moment of desperation where you're like, oh, yeah, okay, maybe I do have a problem. Because I think deep down, I always knew I had a problem. I could never stop.
Right. And you're right, R. Patrice Bryant. Help is not a bad word. And, you know, I have recognized this, even, ladies and gentlemen, at the tender age of 46 years old. I know I don't look a day over 26, but at 46, I recognize that I still need help. I recognize that I still depend on people in my life. And, you know, though I come on this show and it looks like everything's together, a lot of days I'm an absolute train wreck, y'all. And you know what's liberating is when somebody can say, hey, King, I got you, man. Hey, man, come on, talk to me. And you're right, Tamar, especially the folks in the church world, the holy folks, they don't want you to know that they got stuff going on outside of the pew, right? So don't you dare tell me. I talked to a lady one time who was a pastor, and one of her saints came up to her and said, hey, I think you got a drinking problem. And she did. Oops, that's bad. Well, what are the saints got to tell on you? So yes, listen, we are definitely here for one another. And when we come back on the other side of this break tomorrow, we're going to hear about your books, your two phenomenal books that we're going to get into. We're going to talk about your coaching business. We're going to talk about how Tamar has turned all this around and really is helping society and helping other people go to that place called Forward. And I can't wait for you to hear that. But before we do that, you guys know that we got to give a shout out to all of our sponsors.
They say if you want to go fast, then go alone. But if you want to go far, then you've got to go together. Impacting Life 24/7 is an international podcast which is downloaded in over 22 U.S. states as well as 10 different countries around the world. One of our gold sponsors which helps make this happen is Michelle Perry. She is the founder of the Successful Diligence LLC and host of the Successful Diligence podcast, and she's a best-selling author of The Pebble in My Shoe. You can connect with Michelle and get a copy of her book at successfuldiligence.com. Adrian Barker is a gold sponsor. She is the host of the Adrian Barker Speaks podcast. She is a life coach and a CEO of Professional Global Etiquette. Her goal is to help people unearth the greatness that's within them. Connect with her at professionalglobaletiquette.com. Our platinum sponsors include Gregory Smith. He is the author of 100 Simple Ways How to Manage a Property and Evidence Room. Get your copy today of his book by reaching out to Gregory Smith on Facebook or email him at smithg1963@yahoo.com. Greg is a humanitarian at heart. Often Greg will be found helping distribute food in his local community, and he logs thousands of hours volunteering every year. Mr. Mike Black from New Bern, North Carolina is a platinum sponsor. Mike helps men throughout Eastern Carolina lead a life of faith. He is a compassionate leader in his church. He is a devoted husband and father to his daughter who just recently graduated from Army boot camp. Dr. Nate Dunlap Jr. is executive director of the PRF Institute, the author of What's Next? Preparing for Eternity. And he's the author of Don't Leave Me Like This, Inspiration to Leave a Legacy. As a 501c3 nonprofit organization, the PRF Institute is blessed to be that premier stewardship-based teaching ministry that truly responds to the needs of families and communities around the country. You can find Dr. Dunlap and his amazing team at prfinstitute.org. If you would like to become a sponsor of Impacting Life 24/7, which is heard in 22 states and 10 countries, go to clkingspeaker.com.
Yes, go to clkingspeaker.com. And you know what? I was going to change the commercial this week. I was going to upgrade the commercial, guys, because we're in 33 states and 13 countries. That said 22 and 10. But, man, it took me like 70 tries to get that commercial done, y'all. If I do it off the cuff or if I do it live, I will do it without error. But the moment I got to read a script and try to be exact, because I had the final cut done, and then I let Dr. Dunlap hear it, and he said, you said .org, you said .com instead of .org. And I had to do that whole thing over. So I probably will get back. We'll get back in the studios this weekend and upgrade that. And we probably just won't put a number on how many states our podcast is in anymore. Well, that way I don't have to mess with it no more. It could be for eternity. We're in everywhere. We're in the galaxies. Podcast. So, hey, go to CL King Speaker and get some merch too, y'all. Just click on the merch tab. And I got all kind of merch, y'all. Man, I got all kind of stuff people can get with. Man, this is the Impacting Life 24/7 mugs. We got all different colored mugs and t-shirts and beanies and onesies for kids and phone covers. We got it all. Go check it out. Purchase some merch. You'll help us with our mission. If you don't want to be a sponsor, you can help us that way. I am back. And so are you, Tamar, back in the studios with our guest, Miss Tamar Medford, out of, you didn't tell everybody where you're from.
I didn't. I'm from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. So that's where the, you know, proper accent is coming from.
I want to drink my coffee with my pinky in the air. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And a beautiful sunset. So that's why you might not be able to see half my face.
Well, see, this is how this works, ladies and gentlemen. She's actually a couple hours behind me. So I'm talking to the past and she's talking to the future. We got it going on, colliding together. If you want to check out and connect with Tamar, I would love for you guys to go to theroadforward.ca, the road forward. And tomorrow I'm gonna get right to it, man. I'm going to let the proverbial cat out the bag. You've got not one but two dynamic books. Tell us about them.
Well, I'll show you. I have them right here. It felt so cool to hold these in my hand.
Yes,
coming
I can
from
imagine.
Someone who was like, me write a book? Like, I barely graduated English 12. Like, yeah. I remember my teacher telling me, if you fail this class and you don't pass your final exam, I will make your life a living hell. Just to give you an idea of what kind of student I was. To Hope Elevated, this was my first book. This is my heart here. This is, you know, I had one of my mentors actually inspire me. And she told me, you know, Tamar, you have a voice. You have a story. You need to spread that message. She said, people need to hear how you recovered. And so Hope Elevated is about my story. You know, I start off, a liquid gold is probably one of my favorite chapters, because that's what I call when I drank the first time, right? And so, like we talked about before this, it was so therapeutic writing that book, because I had to literally relive everything that I had been through. And I actually, stuff had come up for me that I had long since buried away. So there was things I was contemplating. Should I put that in the book? What if my parents read it? Which I told you they both had. They read it in 6 hours. And then I got phone calls the next day. But it was such a therapeutic process, because it felt good to get it out. It felt good to be that vulnerable. I hope that, just like the title says, Hope Elevated, I want to spread hope, right? If I can reach even one person with my message and just say, hey, I did this. Like, this is what I've been through. And you can actually turn your adversity into your gift. And that's what my mission is with that book.
And so we can find that book on Amazon?
You bet.
All right. So Hope Elevated. Greg, put that in the chat for us, if you would, please. Hope Elevated. You can find that on Amazon. And Tamar is the author of that. But then she followed it up with another book.
I did. And that second book is called Beyond Recovery. And actually, I had a couple really close friends of mine after I wrote Hope Elevated. They took me out for dinner and they're like, okay, we love the book, but what's next? And I'm like, what do you mean what's next? And they said, there needs to be more. And I'm like, okay, well, there's more coming. I mean, there's more to my story. You know, I'm only 45 years old. I mean, right. I have a long way to go here. And I actually, because I was getting into coaching, I had probably been into it about 6 months at this point. And I really felt this something beyond recovery calling me, because I've realized that through discovering my purpose, it's actually allowed me to have a better life beyond recovery. Because I think a lot of people get stuck in recovery and they don't realize what they're truly capable of. And so that's what inspired the second book, is I wanted to share my journey of how I built that foundation in recovery, because that's what it took, is me to basically recognize I had a problem, own that past, realize it was my fault, and then start to repair the damage. And once I did that, then I was able to discover my purpose in life as a result of everything that I've overcome. And so I really want to encourage people that are in recovery not to get complacent, not to settle, and to realize that they're capable of so much more than they think they are.
Wow, that's powerful. And Greg just put those up. Hope Elevated and Beyond Recovery. You can find those at Amazon.com. And if you want to connect with Tamar, all you got to do is go to theroadforward.ca, theroadforward.ca. And I'm blessed. The time is just flying, so I'm trying to get everything in. I mean, I just gonna have to have Tamar back. When we left off at the commercial break, we were talking about how someone reached out to you, and it was almost kind of offensive, you know, that they're all up in your business. But then you said, you know, I gotta start getting help. So if you could, let's close that piece before we go on and tell us, you know, this is obviously what inspired the books. And so that's a great platform. But tell us a little bit, you know, if you can give us some benchmarks on the actual recovery, your recovery itself.
Absolutely. So I was a part of a 12-step program. And the first really important part for me was to recognize that I had a problem, because I think a lot of people don't want to admit it. Right. I mean, to me, you know, when I first sat listening to other people who suffered from alcohol addiction, I looked at them and I remember thinking, I'm not like you.
Right.
You know, I didn't go through a treatment center. I was never homeless. I wasn't the stereotypical drinking alcohol out of a brown paper bag. So I never classified myself, right? Because that's really what I thought. I'm like, I'm a classy drunk, you know? I mean, I know there's table dancing and potential nudity sometimes, but I was classy. And so really, like, writing out my life story and reading it to somebody and thinking, okay, things are just pretty unmanageable here. And, you know, the next step of building that foundation was finding faith in a higher power, because I never grew up religious. I had gone to church when I was younger. But of course, to me, God was never there, because why would I have to live through what I've lived through? And I remember I was desperate about 4 months in, and I was white knuckling it, because I was just trying every day not to drink, because it was summer. I wanted to, you know, be on a patio sipping on a nice icy cold beverage, and I couldn't. And my friend at the time said, Tamar, I want you to go home and I want you to pray. And I was like, okay, well, I don't even really know how to pray. And she goes, just get down on your knees and I want you to pray. We're going to go to church on Sunday, and I want you to pray that you hear something that you need to hear, that it's okay to let go and let God. And I was like, okay. She goes, no, you need to ask for, like, spotlight, high beams. I don't do subtle. And did that, you know. I went home that night and I'm like, okay, God, like, you know, I did what she told me to. And I said, just give me something really profound. Like, just let me know you're here for me and I don't have to run my life anymore. And I went to church that Sunday, and there was a youth pastor there. He's very handsome, so that helped. That drew my attention. And, I mean, I got to be honest.
Right, right.
But he came over to the side of the stage that I was sitting at, and he looked, it felt like he was looking right at me, and he said, if you're sitting in this audience today and you're ready to let go and let God, you're in the right place. And now as I say that out loud, it gives me goosebumps.
Right.
Because that is when the desire to drink went away.
Wow. So it happened with the hunk at the church, mm-hmm. but God was there speaking through, and you felt like he was reading your mail, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And here's what we talked about in the pre-show, backstage. You know, I don't. If you want to find a genre for what our show is about, maybe self-improvement, self-help, whatever. I don't know what our genre really is, except for impacting lives. And so we're not necessarily a church, you know, based program, but we are faith-based people. And we always, if there's a segue for us to give credit to God, we do it on this show, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, just make no mistake. As long as I am, and as long as I'm the CEO of this operation, and the ruler of all I survey, and the creator of all things, and Greg is my right-hand man, if God comes up, you don't have to sugarcoat it. You don't have to be politically correct. You can give him all credit on Impacting Life 24/7. So I just had to put that in there. And so you went to church, got some hope and faith injected into your life, and then what?
Then I started to clean up the past. You know, I started to own the mistakes I made. I approached people that I had, you know, wronged, and I apologized to them. And not just apologized, I owned what I had done, and I recognized my part in everything. And I think that's probably been a really big step for me in my recovery. And I do it today. If I feel like I've said something that could have potentially caused harm, you know, not meaning to, I will right away approach that and say, hey, you know what? Did I say something that offended you? Like, I'm all about owning it right when it happens, right? And it cleans our side of the street. You know, it doesn't, yeah. The other person might not accept it, but it has to be said, right? And it allowed me to move forward.
Wow. That's so powerful, ladies and gentlemen. You know, we need to work on that. Disagreements will come, and differences of opinions will happen. But man, to be able to say, hey, man, I'm sorry, I'm not always right. Imagine this. I'm not always right. I'm thinking about my friend Tim Bicycle. If he happens to watch this show, he'll appreciate. Tim is actually the graphics designer that put all of our stuff together, our new logo. He's got our merch on the store, and everything that he's done for us has been great. I was just on his show the other day. He's been on ours. But our relationship didn't start out like that. It actually started out in an online argument because I thought he was asking for some information about someone that he shouldn't have, and it had nothing to do with that. I misinterpreted. That's why you cannot interpret emails and messages, y'all. And I said, who do you think? And I went off on him. Then he's going off on me because he's from Michigan. I'm from Ohio, so you know how us folk act. And then I realized when I went back and researched what he was asking, I was totally wrong. I mean, like, I had crow feathers coming out of my mouth. And I went back and I told him, I said, Tim, and I messaged him. I had unfriended him. I had blocked him. I did all that. I just met the guy. I went back and said, I was totally wrong. It was my fault. I apologize. I'm sorry, brother. And now me and him are business partners. There is a liberation in cleaning up what maybe you have done wrong. And you know, for those folks that don't forgive, Tamar, and for those folks that want to hold a grudge, that's going to be on them. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, not everybody gets it, but you, as long as you've done your part, then you're good. You're liberated. That's liberating for you, isn't it?
It is. And I had to realize that there was probably going to be some people who were like, yeah. Okay. You've said sorry before. And I knew from that point on in my life, I had to make a living amends. I had to show people that I was serious. And, you know, a lot of people come into recovery and they think, well, my family hasn't forgiven me. And it's like, but look how many years you built up that lack of trust, right? I mean, it was never intentional. It was always good intentions on my part, but it takes time to build that trust. And the best way to get it back is by living your truth, being yourself, being honest.
Yeah. And truth and honesty is one of the most liberating elements in life. So you make that road to recovery, and you are living that road to recovery, and you're helping others. And so you got into coaching, and how did you dip your toe into the coaching world? How'd that happen?
Well, it took me about 5 years of complacency to actually realize that I didn't want to settle anymore. And I thought I was meant for more because I was so plagued with limiting beliefs. And I labeled myself as I'm an alcoholic drug addict. That is all I will ever be. And I really believed that that would follow me around in a negative way because I wasn't educated. I mean, I do have 22 years of, I consider myself a PhD in addiction.
yeah.
But I really believe that who am I to make an impact or a difference? And it actually started with a podcast because I went to an event. I met, you know, one of my my favorite podcasters. I met some more podcasters down there and they really encouraged me, like, share your story. You're traveling for business. You want to get healthy, like niche down. And so that's how it actually started. Mm-hmm. And because I had learned to become so vulnerable on my first show, which was The Road to Health, I shared like the ups and downs of trying new dieting strategies, not dieting strategies, but building my relationship to food. Because as you know, I talked before, that was an addiction of mine as well. And so when COVID hit, I actually was homebound. I was traveling for a living before that. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, okay, well, now I'm not traveling. I can't share my story of getting healthy on the road. And so that's when I decided to write Hope Elevated. And as I wrote it and as I started doing all these things, people started to recognize it. And I had a couple of friends say, hey, can you coach me? And I'm like, well, I'm not a coach. And they're like, well, it's okay. Like, how much do you want to charge? And I thought, this is surreal. So I thought, I'm going to get my life coaching. And it started with that. And being able to see people, like I helped one of my clients. She couldn't even type, like two finger typer, could thick, thick accent. I love this woman to pieces. She's from Kenya. And she's like, Tamar, I want to write a book, but I don't know how. And we started simple and she wrote a best-selling book in the first 6 months we worked together. And seeing that, right, it was a whole new level. I mean, I had helped people get sober, but now seeing people build a life for themselves and now expand that life to where they start doing things that really keep them just passionate and wanting to wake up every day, that added the fuel to the fire for me.
That is so powerful, man. And again, ladies and gentlemen, my guest, you guys have been with Rod. Thank you guys for riding with us tonight. Thank you, Katrina. Thank you, R. Patrice. Thanks, Greg. Thank you, others out there. But our guest, Tamar Medford, she is the author of Hope Elevated and Beyond Recovery. You can find her. Go check out her website, ladies and gentlemen. It's theroadforward.ca. And, you know, what you have done, Tamar, is remarkable. Why do I say that? Because there's been a lot of people that have failed with a lesser challenge. You know, there's a lot of people that have gone through with less than what you've gone through and have failed and have never recovered. It first took an awareness. It also took some help from outside. But then at the end of the day, it still was a matter of you taking ownership of your life. Now, she talked about dieting, ladies and gentlemen. She says that she was on yo-yo diets and yo-yo eating habits. And people don't understand this, but you can have an addictive nature. Like you can be addicted. We were talking about some of the things that you just go in. If you're going to do it, you go all in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example,
entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
That is a major one. I mean, I started my coaching business last April, so April 2020, and it just, everything went so fast, right? I got the bug for writing, and then of course I got the bug to write another book, and I was working, like I was getting up at 3:30 a.m., you know, doing my coaching stuff, my side hustle till about 6:37, and then from 7:30 to 4, I was working a full-time job. And then in the evening, I would do it all over again, and weekends, and I was obsessed because I'm like, what else can I do? What else can I do? And I talk about it in Beyond Recovery, actually, that I've really learned to push the boundaries of burnout. And I never realized, like I've done it with everything else, right? Mm-hmm. If I have some sugar, watch out. Like I can't have one cookie. I got to have 12.
Hey, Tamar, did I tell you? I told you the story about the chips in the baseball game, right?
And yes, you did. Queso?
Yeah, the queso dip. Yeah, my wife's still mad at me about that.
I'm exactly like that, but it flows over into every aspect of my life because I was reading a book on addiction and the social science of addiction, and it actually said humans can be addicted to anything that gives them pleasure. And when I found my passion, I gave everything to that passion. And I mean, it is why I'm where I am today.
Right.
But now it's all about self-care. Like, I can't give, like, you know, I give 1,000%, I would say. But if I give 1,001, I have to be really careful because it's a fine line. I could lose it all. So I got to pull back and I got to realize self-care is part of being an entrepreneur and being a good entrepreneur as well.
Yeah, she made a great point. We were talking about this in the pre-show, y'all, that you know, she's a podcast host. She's an author. She's a coach. And a lot of that requires it. I call what we do in this industry, like, we're the people on the floor blowing the balloon that's already blowed up, but we got to use our air to keep it aloft. And if we're not doing that, then the balloon's going to come down because we're the only ones blowing it up. But the truth of the matter is that she said something that has been kind of an overarching theme for us throughout 2021, and that is self-care. Like I told her, I had a guest cancel last night, and typically I will just fill in the gap. Either I'll have Mike and I come on, or I'll do the show or whatever. But man, I'm just like, you know, I don't have to be everywhere all at the same time. I'm not present, number one. And number two, some days it's just good to rest. Some days it's just good to pull away. And that's okay. And it's a hard lesson for someone to learn that's got the personality of a Tamar, because when she goes in, you better watch out, because she is going to be elbows and ankles flying to get the job done. But we're so thankful that you have taken the experiences that you've had over all these years, which are private experiences, but you're using them in a very personable way to help people who have gone through and not just see. When we talk about addiction, you said that definition, tell us that definition again. You remember what it was?
That humans can become addicted to anything that gives them
pleasure. Yeah. So anything that gives you pleasure, can spiral you down into addiction. Video games, podcasting, anything, any of that stuff, man. And I was telling Tamar that I don't necessarily like the word balance. I like the word perspective, like understanding, okay, I don't need to, you know what I mean? Me and my wife just grab our bags and go away for the weekend because we've been given too much. We need to, and having that perspective, having that visual or that spiritual awareness that, hey, I need to pull away. So what's next for Miss Tamar? You got so much on your plate. You're just hustling. What's next for you?
So much. you know, I'm actually currently in the process of creating a summit called Rise in Recovery. And I really want to showcase entrepreneurs in recovery who have turned their adversity into their purpose, because that's what gets my blood pumping, right? When I can share people's story, and that's, you know, the whole thing with the podcast as well, I can bring these people on who have made something of themselves. And you know, I think that's, I loved having you on the show as well, is because you're one of those people who has been through adversity, come out the other side and said, no, I'm not gonna let this get me down. I'm not gonna, you know, do what everybody thinks that I'm gonna do. I'm gonna do more. I'm gonna make a difference in this world. And so that is really my focus moving forward. And you never know, there might be another book. I mean, you know, I'm co-authoring a book currently right now. And
see,
you know,
but hold on now. Okay. You got to understand, King is still struggling to get I haven't even gotten off the runway yet, and you're already working on book number three. Just slow down. I mean, everybody on my team's got book. Katrina's got a book because she decided to love. Greg's got a book, 101 Ways to Run an Evidence Room. Danny just got his master's. I mean, Mike's working on a book, and here's CL King still fumbling around trying to figure out what page I'm going to be on. So just slow down, please. But no, that ambition, that drive, that passion, you gave all, look at this, Tamar, you gave all to a bottle. You gave all to drugs. then now you're giving all to improving yourself and those around you. That speaks a lot. And if you want to come back on for like a short live and tell us about the conference again, we can do that too. We can promote the conference. You want to send me a flyer, I'll put it on our leadership page. We got a leadership institute that we run. So we are all about promoting, man. And so thank you for what you, this whole story is like, man, an absolute, we're looking at a real life. I was going to wear my Superman shirt tonight, but I thought that would have been out of character. You should have been wearing it. We're looking at a real life superhero. Tamar Medford, you can find her at theroadforward.ca. She's the author of two amazing books. Hold those books up, Tamar, so we can see them. She's the author of two amazing books, Beyond Recovery and Hope Elevated. And you can find both of those at Amazon.com. We've got the links in the show notes right there. And what we typically do at this, because guess what? The music's going to start playing. And that means our sponsors will be happy that we actually ended the show on time, since we didn't start on time. God only knows. We're going to ask you Tamar to do something that we like for all of our guests to do. And I'm going to turn the show over to you for about a minute. And I'd love for you to give some words of encouragement to our people and our audience out there. So Tamar Medford, please give us a word of encouragement. The floor is yours.
If you are struggling and you need help with any sort of addiction, mental health issues, it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to not be okay. And, you know, once you finally realize, you know, that you can overcome that adversity and you can create a life worth living and discover your purpose and, you know, live that purpose-driven life, follow your passions, do what gets you excited every morning, do what makes you want to hop out of bed and conquer the world and make a difference, you know, because you are capable of so much more than you think. You just have to believe it.
Oh, that's so powerful. So much is in the beginning is the belief, man. You know what I mean? I believe that I'm a $1 million speaker and I'm just waiting on the checks to start rolling in, but I believe it. You know what I mean, sister? And your road, your path that you've went through, it wasn't an easy road. But you talk to people saying, hey, man, the road to recovery, this is a life I'm living intentionally. I know my limitations. We're not perfect because we recover. We're not perfect because we overcome something. Sometimes things still haunt us, but we live intentionally. And Tamar Medford is really a living testimony of how that is done. I would love for you guys to go check out her website at theroadforward.ca. Tamar, like I said, if you want to come back and give a quick promo on that summit you're doing, we'd love to have you back. And of course, we'll get you back for a full show later on in the fall. Okay.
Thank you so much for having me, CL.
All right. Well, God bless you. You take care. Have a good night.
You too.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, that was Tamar Medford. And our Patrice Bryant, if you're still on, have you been on the show? I don't know if I have had our Patrice Bryant on. I thought we were supposed to schedule you. Did I not send you the link? I can't remember. I know I was on your show, but everything is a blur in the podcast world because appearances and schedulings. So if I haven't, please let me know and we will get that to you. Yes, Gray, thank you for that invite to the Leadership Institute. Thank you, Danny. Oh, Danny hanging out. Danny just recently got his master's. Danny is literally, ladies and gentlemen, probably the smartest person on the planet. He's anything you can ask him. I ask him stuff that is just so remote, and he's got an answer for it. He'll bring up charts and graphs and everything. Okay, our Patrice Bryant, when I hang up and the lights go out in the studios, I'm going to send you the link, okay? Because that's not good. I need you on the show. I was blessed to be on yours, and you're supposed to be on mine, sister. You gotta remember, I know life moves fast. And so I want to thank everybody that helps make this show happen. The contributors, Katrina, of course, she's a poet and she's got her own work going on. All of our team members have their own hustles going on, and I love them for that. I want to be around people that are making stuff happen, and so I want to give shout out to her. I want to give a shout out to Danny. He just finished, like I said, got his ECU master's degree. He's just a remarkable human being. We disagree on a lot, But that's why I have him on my team, because I need somebody that, that doesn't say they agree with everything I say, except for when it comes to this. You got to agree. No, man, but he makes me think. And, man, don't have everybody that just has pom-poms and just like, yeah, you're the best. Have somebody, have bring some people on your team that make you think and make you consider before you make a decision. Huh? Oh. And then, of course, Mike Black, he's our show co-host. And he's a very busy man, and I'm thankful for people that have taken time out of their schedule, because this requires scheduling, y'all, and I'm thankful for that. We're also thankful for all of our listeners from coast to coast and around the globe. I can't believe when we looked at the analytics the other day, 33 states, we just welcomed in Greece and I forget the other country, but 13 countries now download Impacting Life 24/7, and those are the real numbers. That, you know, I don't mind Facebook, you know, you only had 45, 50 views. I don't care about that. We just do this because we want a live environment. But the true numbers is what people are doing when they intentionally download your podcast. And that's where you can tell people they have to go do that. See, Facebook can give you a view by somebody just scrolling through and they saying, oh, what King doing? He, oh, there you go, running his mouth again. That's fine. But when somebody intentionally says, I want to download this show because of the amazing content, the guests, the stories. And so those are the analytics that we look at every week. And it wouldn't be possible without you. So I love you guys. If you guys would like to connect with us, you want to become a sponsor, go to clkingspeaker.com. If you want to get some merchandise, if you'd like to come have me speak, I'm gearing up for one of the biggest speeches in my life. It'll be live at White Oak High School, June the first Saturday in June. Biggest speech of my life, man. And it's going to be called I'm Still Standing. So again, thank you guys for everything that you've done. We look forward to talking to you again on Thursday. We'll be right back here in the High Definition Studios on Impact Life 24/7. Until then, tell someone, reach out to someone, tell them that you love them, man. That you never know, that person that you're sitting next to in the cubicle or that person in the grocery store could be hurting, and your words of encouragement could actually impact the life. Thank you so much, guys.